as we welcome you back to the Two Guys Named Chris show. Ask the Lawyer is the segment. Lisa Lanier, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Glad to be here.
Full disclosure, I want to get all these calls because everybody wants to ask you legal questions.
All right, I can't wait.
Two things first. First, she's hungover like you wouldn't believe.
I am.
She just told you she
was too much tequila.
Oh my God. She was throwing down margaritas last night over at La Fiesta. So she's not on her best.
Just I'll try, though. I'll try to muddle through.
Do her best. And I pickled till nearly 7:15 last night.
Oh, well, there you go. Same kind of thing, right? You're a party animal.
The two of us are not at our best.
No.
Now, I want to give you my Gene Hackman theory and
okay.
get immediate reaction.
All right, I can't
It'll take 30 seconds here.
All right.
I think Gene Hackman came into the house, fell, was down on the floor. Okay, his cane is askew. His sunglasses are there. His wife sees him. And in a moment of panic, thinks, my God, I cannot nurse this man back to health again. Like she's been his caretaker for
right,
years.
Right.
Takes a blunt object, I'm going to guess frying pan, because it's in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Smacks him over the head with it. He's dead. She thinks, oh my God, I'm going to go to prison. I'm not going to get his money. I can't live without him. She runs to the bathroom, takes a bunch of pills, falls out herself.
Wow.
That's my theory. Murder, suicide.
What about the dog? How does the dog factor
because
in?
Because she did, well, two theories on that. First, I heard the dog was in a kennel, like in a cage. Yeah. And if that was the case, she's like, oh, she just didn't think of the dog because right. she was like, oh, you know, panic.
It just starved to death or something.
And it starved to death. But now I'm hearing the dog was actually in a closet near her. And I think what may have happened was he got into the closet and one of the other dogs accidentally knocked it shut.
Oh, wow.
Maybe a couple of days or whenever after the.
Wow. Yeah. That is quite a theory. Yeah. I don't know if we'll ever know, the real answer.
Much like that poor dog, if there's ever an emergency here, I will be forgotten in the closet.
Right. You'll be stuck
That's
back
true.
There.
Do it.
These two will rush out, and I'll be in here going, hello?
You know, what's going on out there?
It's right. true. If you haven't seen our layout here, Biggie is in a closet.
He's in a closet.
Yeah.
Later,
with no food or water.
No.
Right.
And they'll say, how'd he get in the closet? We'll never know.
Hello?
And what about these cops who go in, find two mummified bodies, one, a double Oscar winner, and go, looks natural to me.
That was the craziest thing. That when as soon as those headlines hit, I was like, what?
I know. Yeah. Right. Looks like normal everyday business
right,
here. They're just
right.
mummified. That's
right.
no big deal. All right. We have several callers for it. I'm standing by my theory. Murder, suicide.
All right. We'll see how that pans
out. Do you think
out.
This will become, because Lisa, you're a giant fan of CrimeCon. I know you love to go. Will this be rise up to topic one at CrimeCon?
I think what we're going to find out is that there was some kind of gas, like monoxide or something like that.
Well, that was my original theory.
Yeah, I think that's why there was a space heater in the room where she was, and I don't know, how that played into him, if the fumes could have gotten all the way to him. But that's usually the reason you have that many bodies and no evidence of any kind of like blunt force trauma.
But the door was open, so the dogs could come and go. So it seems
that was
like
weird.
So it seems like the gas would have escaped.
Well, they were German shepherds, and or at least the one that died. And I don't know. I have a shepherd mix that can open doors, and so it may be that one of the dogs had opened the door and got out before the fumes got them. I don't know.
And did one of the dogs close the other dog into the?
Maybe
into
these are some smart dogs.
Yeah. God, I would say I never liked you, Larry.
Sorry, Larry.
Door closed.
But I think that's what we're going to find out. And the reason I think that they're testing and have these warrants is because I think they're going to. It's a strict liability state for product liability. So if the heater killed them, there's going to be some lawsuits against the heater.
Now that's possible. Yeah. I'm standing by
murder-suicide
because she was tired of taking care of him.
And that,
could be.
I believe, is a Lisa Lanier polite chuckle.
Yeah.
Kristen,
which I predicted hour ago.
2 hours ago, I told Kristen my theory. He goes, I said, I'm going to let Lisa know.
Oh,
he says she'll politely chuckle and move along.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
Oh, really?
I've heard your crackpot theories before.
Well, all right. I predicted you'd rub your chin and go, that's a fantastic
fascinating.
Theory.
Yeah.
Fascinating theory.
Yes.
He said,
yes.
You politely chuckle and said, move to the call.
I'll alert the DA.
All right. Let's go to Jason, who has a question for you about home water damage. Jason, you're on with Lisa Lanier. Go ahead.
Hi there. Good morning, Lisa.
Hey, Jason.
Thanks for taking my call. Hey there. So I purchased a home in Florida, still living in North Carolina. And before we moved down, I had the utilities cut on. So the utility company cut on the water meter. They let it run and they noticed that there was a leak inside, nobody home. So they turned the water meter back off and did not tag it or did not try to notify me. Well, within that next day, somebody turned on my water meter. I was thinking it's a landscape guy, mistakenly with the neighbors. And so they turned the water meter on. Well, it leaked for the next 4 days until we came down to clean the house to get it ready for moving in. Ooh. So 12,000 gallons leaked up from my upstairs bathroom down into my lower floor.
That's
completely
terrible.
Ruined my sheetrock. And we're talking, we came into a mess. It blew the breakers. I mean, we were standing in, you know, almost ankle deep water. Had the breakers not tripped, we could have potentially lost our lives. My question is, you know, they noted the leak, but did not try to notify me. So that's a potential hazardous energy that was inside the house that they should have called me, or they should have, you know, tried to notify me in some way. So the lawyer for the county says that she feels they did not have a duty to notify me. But if my irrigation is leaking, they send me a letter every month for high water usage, and they try to notify me other ways.
Wow. That's a good question.
The question is, do you think they have a duty to notify?
I think she may be right. I don't think they necessarily have a legal duty to tell you, although I think it is their practice. Like you said, you know, if they notice high water usage, it's their practice to it, but I don't think they have a legal duty
to
do that.
So legally he's got
I don't think he can obligate them to that. Yeah, because, I mean, it would be, I think, the way it would be viewed sort of as a public policy, it would be an undue burden on the water company to be responsible for every time there was a leak or a potential leak to have to track down the owner. And, you know, I think they assume, and who knows? I mean, why they do it as a courtesy, I think, is really, in these other situations, is more about just water usage.
Yeah.
Than anything. But yeah, unfortunately, I don't think they would have a duty there. I think
that
lawyer's right.
That's too bad. Yeah. Sorry, Jason. When he was explaining, I was like,
that sucks.
I said to myself, Lisa's going to come down on his side and just nail it.
They should. I mean, you know, they should have, from a practical standpoint.
But no legal obligation.
I don't think they have a legal duty.
Unfortunate. Jody with a question about DUIs. Jody for Lisa Lanier. Go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering, Charlie, I was hoping maybe you might be able to give me a clear answer on this. I've always heard if you've been drinking and you're getting behind the wheel there, and you're not going nowhere. You're just going to sleep. As long as you do not have the key in the ignition, that they cannot do nothing to you. But it's the ones who's get behind the wheel, even though they don't drive, and they got the key in the ignition, that's where they get in trouble.
This is a good question. We've had this come up on this show many times.
A lot.
So somebody's going to sleep it off in the parking lot of a bar. What is the deal on DUI?
Yeah, do not have the key in the ignition. You're right.
Yeah.
And really, it's safer not to be behind the wheel.
Yeah.
You're better off to, like, get in the back seat, you know, something like that. Because, so, with the key in the ignition, for sure, they're going to bust you.
Yeah.
But if you're seated, even with the key not in the ignition, and someone saw you pull over and called the cops or some of that sort of thing, they're still going to breathalyze you, and they're still going to have somebody that said you were recently driving. And so, yeah, you're better off. Mm-hmm. I mean, technically, the key in the ignition is a killer.
Now
I have a fob.
Okay, he has a fob.
Yeah.
So do I. Okay. For me,
it's always in my pocket.
Listen, for me, it would be okay. No key in it. My car is 15 years old. It's a minivan.
Oh, you're gonna have that. Yeah.
Yeah, but they've got fobs.
Fobs.
In fact,
that's right. I have a fob.
Let me tell you this. Yesterday, Chris, Jim, and I were taking a picture. We've got a new can hugger koozie from East Coast Wings and Grill.
I just saw it.
It says Christ Kelly.
Christ Kelly.
So, okay, in case there's a lawsuit, we need a picture of it.
Right.
It's Exhibit A.
It's Exhibit A. Right. So we're out taking a picture in the parking lot. BB Shea's got us out there holding up these can huggers, the Christ Kellys. And suddenly there's a rumble behind us. Well, Biggie's car starting. He's nowhere near it. I said, Jesus, God.
I said, fired it up.
I told BB Shea to drive it away.
The ultimate prank.
So what if you have...
Well, the fob thing, that's why, again, I would not be... If I was drunk and I had just pulled over, I would get in another seat.
Yeah. In the back
because
seat.
You clearly are saying, look, I'm not driving. I had no intention of driving.
Sleeping.
Wow.
I'm sleeping it off.
Great. Sleeping
it off. All right.
Good advice.
If you have a question, 866-470-2GNC. We've got her for just a few more minutes. Mike, you have a question about custody. Go ahead.
Yes. I love your show. P1 from Lincolnton.
Thank you.
My wife has... legal custody of our 13-year-old granddaughter. The court papers mention only my wife's name. she's not in the greatest, my wife is not in the greatest of health. I'm in better health. And we've wondered if my wife were to die, would I automatically become the legal guardian, even though my name is not on the custody papers?
If I were you, Mike, and I'm sorry your wife's not in good health, by the way, if I were you, Mike, I would go and get your name added to that, because I think it's very specific to the person in this situation. And if she were to pass, I think you would be able to go and make an application to be appointed the legal guardian, and it's pretty straightforward, but it would be better to go ahead in case there's a challenge later.
Mm-hmm.
I think there'd be more likely to be a challenge later. Go ahead and get yourself added now if possible. But if you don't and something happens to her, just go petition to become appointed as the legal guardian.
Oh, you can do that.
Yeah.
But better now than to wait.
I would do it now, yeah.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
Good luck.
That would, I would agree. Not that you care what I think, but I would agree. I mean,
good,
as he was
saying,
I was like, as he was saying, don't stop calling me Christ. Bobby, you're talking about debt collection with Lisa Lanier. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Lisa. Thanks, Chris. Quick question, Lisa. A couple of years ago, September of 21, I had a disagreement with the landlord. I moved out. They said I didn't give adequate notice. I thought I did. We disagreed on the principle of it. They turned me over to a collection agency, knocked my credit score down a couple hundred points. I shared the evidence with the collection agency. They agreed with me and restored my credit back to a nice number. Long story short, the collection agency is still sending me notices. I don't reply. I just ignore it. They've offered to I could pay half of what they originally said I owed. When's the statute of limitations up on what they can do to collect that?
Okay. Good question.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
You know, they will continue, in my experience, they will continue to send you these kind of notices well past the statute of limitations. I think on that debt, it may have even already passed for you. I'd have to actually look it up. I wouldn't want to guess, but it could be as short as 3 years. I'll double check and put something out there so I can tell you. But don't let that, you know, make you think that they're going to stop sending you these notices. I had a client that had a medical debt, and they were still sending her notices like 15, you know, plus years
later. Well, it gets in the computer system, and you can just never get rid of it, you know. Yeah. Now, is what he's doing right? Just ignore it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would just ignore it because they've restored your credit score, and so that's the main concern.
So you're okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Bobby. Appreciate the phone call. Mike, you're talking about, again, it's DUI or drinking while driving, but an interesting slant on it. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, so I've always just been curious because I've started drinking the non-alcoholic beers and thought it was interesting that they card you to get non-alcoholic beers at the grocery store. So I was wondering if it was legal to drink non-alcoholic 0.0 alcohol beers while driving.
Interesting question.
Wow.
Yeah. Can you?
Well, I believe that the reason that they card people for it is that at least when they first came out, they couldn't remove all of the alcohol. There was a trace.
Right.
And so it was one of the reasons why at first I think like really, you know, brittle alcoholics were trying to drink that and it was actually triggering them.
Really?
You know, but now I think they've gotten much better at it.
Well,
truly
he says
being
it's a 0.0.
Yeah, there is, like Heineken, I think, has a 0.0.
Yeah.
I think you can drink that. But whenever you do anything that sort of is, it looks like you're doing something wrong.
Right, yeah.
You always stand the risk that you're going to get somebody that, you know, says, hey, I don't care, you know.
But
I think you should, because if it's truly zero, you're not really drinking.
You're going to be okay, right? But you can't. Thank you very much, Mike. Appreciate the phone call. If I'm drinking a Bud Light going down the road, but I'm only, like, I've had one, and that's the only one I have, and I get pulled over and I blow a 0.001 on the breathalyzer, is that illegal? It is.
Well, you've got an open container.
That's it. Yeah, right. So, but non-alcoholic beer is not an open
container. I wouldn't think, but that's where I think they're going to, you might get a pissed off officer that's having a bad day or something. It's like, I don't care. It says it's a Heineken.
Yeah. I can't be sure of the product. It might be the Heineken 0.0, but you're right, Lisa, there are a couple of others. There's a commercial for somebody getting pulled over.
And he says,
and he's holding what looks like, you know, a green glass beer bottle, but it's 0.0.
And so it was
and
okay.
The cop, I think, lets him go. I think that's actually in one of the TV commercials.
Very interesting. That's a good question. Thank you.
Yeah.
Heroin Scott talking child support. Heroin Scott, go ahead.
Yes. My issue is this. I pay this woman $400 a month in child support for one child. I'm raising a set of twins by myself, and I don't get but $50 a month. I make less than $50,000 a year thereabouts. And both these women are married. One of them has a college degree, so she has the ability to make more money than I do. And they both have two incomes. And it is here in the state of North Carolina, both the orders.
It's like,
how is this possibly fair?
So they apply, you know, the guidelines. And typically the guidelines will come out with, you know, the ideally a fair division of how the child's support is going to be awarded. But here it sounds like maybe you should, I don't know if it's worth it, but I mean, maybe you should talk to a family law attorney. Or even sometimes I think if you get your hands on the child support guidelines, sometimes the clerks will kind of help talk you through it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Child support enforcement, really, even though they tend to be on the other side of this, like trying to make people pay,
right,
they will actually talk to you, I think, about, you know, kind of the fairness of what you're paying. It'd be worth having a conversation with them to see if the guidelines were properly applied to you and under your current circumstances.
Okay.
And good advice. Don't use the name Heroin Scott.
No, 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 don't do that.
Not down at the courthouse.
Heroin Scott does not like his ex. Any of them. Let me say that.
Well, I can hear that.
Well, we're familiar with him. All right. We have a...
we've met him.
He's called her... Don't call her the devil when you go in there with the, in the courts. You know, we don't want you to do that. He's done that in the past.
I feel you, Scott.
Tom, you have a question as well for Lisa Lanier about a boat. Go ahead.
Thank you. This early spring, I took the boat into a service center. I told them I would like to have just looked over an oil change if, you know, the plugs needed to be changed. If they could just look that over, wanted to do it early before it gets busy. Signed a little contract. Okay, not a problem. About a week and a half later, I get a call. It's all done. It's $1,200. I said, for what, an oil change? Oh, well, we did this. We did many different things, and you signed a contract.
No, sir. Get in there. Get in there now.
I mean, if the contract says that you're authorizing them to do the work, that's going to be problematic. I wouldn't know what the contract says, but it is certainly the habit and practice of most service, any kind of service center, whether it's boat, car, whatever, to call and get an authorization.
Yes.
Mm. But maybe they have some kind of contract because boats tend to be a little pricier with the maintenance. Maybe they have it in their contract that you're authorizing up to. I don't know what it says.
Yeah.
I have seen contracts that say you authorize up to like $2,000 or
$3,000. Really?
And so just take a look at the contract, see what you agreed to. What I would suggest doing is calling the Attorney General's office in North Carolina. If you look online, Google the Consumer Protection Division of the North Carolina Attorney General's Office. It's been in an institution for probably 20 years, and they actually get involved.
Really?
They'll contact the service center. And even if you're not 100% in the right about it, a lot of times they'll try to mediate it a little bit for you. I've had some clients use it. They were really pleased.
Thank you. Thanks, Tom. That's a good question, too.
Does a boat oil change cost is what a car oil change costs? I have no
idea. Certainly not $1,200, right?
That's a nice boat.
Yeah.
I mean, it better be a good boat.
Not one of those pontoons you're drinking on.
No. God, no. That's that high test. That's good stuff there. That's Quaker State. Yeah.